serious. Luke 10, verse 21.
How long have we been in Luke 10?
We've been there a while.
A couple of years.
In that hour, do you notice Pete has bell bottoms on?
Yeah. From 1942.
He is a saver.
That hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. We're studying the word babes. This is the first time this word has been used in our studies. And it's a word, it's nepios, and N-E-P-I-O-S. And it's a fascinating word because it means without speech, without hearing words, without speech. It's not hearing necessarily, but not being able to comprehend speech. That's what this word means for babes. And it means that you're still seeing or hearing with your mind. Trying to use your mind. And the idea is back again to this in Matthew 18. It's except you be converted, it has become as this babe, little child, you shall nowise enter the kingdom of God. So the conversion process is what we call born again. The sanctification process is losing everything you've ever known and every value system you've ever had and every opinion you've ever had so that you hear and understand from a different dimension. You hear without words. Nepios. Let's look at a couple places where that's used. Let's look at 1 Romans chapter 2. Verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. Now that could equally be said to those believers who say, once saved, always saved. The rest, because they've accepted Jesus in their personal, as their personal Savior, they know not what they're talking about, but they glory in the fact that they're saved, quote unquote, and others aren't. It's the same thing that was with the Jews. You remember the Jews believed that they had the right to enter the kingdom of God. It was their birthright. And that's why the baptism of John was so critical, because the physicality of having to go to the other side of the Jordan, which they're testifying by their walk, by their actions, that they know they're not worthy, and then going through the baptism, which is their death, and then born again. Now, Christians do the same thing. They accept Jesus as their personal Savior, and then they believe by that act they're acceptable unto God. And so they boast in that and not in the mystery. So anyway, that's not what we're studying.
I just had a little inkling of this process of salvation when you accept Christ as your personal Savior. You accept the Jesus that you think he is and the one you understand. Has a lot to do with law.
Sure.
It's a new law that you've accepted now.
I Well, you have to behave.
Behave right, and then Jesus wins. Dave, your buddy.
Okay, you make and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law in their understanding, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. Just listen to these guys on television. They think they have arrived in their, they boast themselves and their intimacy with God. They speak to him every day and God speaks back. They have conversations with him. They're lying through their teeth. And they believe they're instructors of the foolish, a teacher of babes. They are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest, etc. Now we go on.
What does it mean to be chosen? What's the Jews were called the chosen people, and God called them the chosen people.
They were.
They're
no longer.
Because they blew it or because it served its function?
No. Chosen simply means that God has seen the end of the movie. You're not chosen just because you're a Jew. The Jew was chosen to be the representative of the human race. But more than that, he wasn't chosen.
They're chosen to keep the law.
Well, they were given the law and they didn't keep it. They started believing that the law would give them righteousness. And the law can never give you righteousness. The purpose of the law is to make sin exceedingly sinful so you see the end of yourself. And that's what Abraham saw, that's what Moses saw, that's what prophet saw. That's what we see, I hope. The point of it is this, that it says an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes. And it's that same scripture. You have a form of godliness but deny his power. That's a biggie. All right, let's go to one more. Two more. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Well, let's start earlier. Let's start in chapter 2. Well, let's just read it. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ, and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And again, remember that word power is dunamis, the efficacy of him. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the thing which God hath prepared for them that love him. So that's a biggie. You can't see it with the eye, you can't hear it with the ear, and it can't be entered into your heart.
So we have no idea.
Well, in Christ we do. He is then he just shows us more and more of Christ. That's the mystery. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we also we speak, not in the words of which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now the mind of Christ, remember, is that total emptiness to the point of a vacuum. Anyway, that's all the preamble to the next for a couple verses. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. So you have to disown everything that you can know naturally in order that you can be that the Spirit of God can reveal the things of God. But I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes. In other words, only the things that concern Christianity with regard to the flesh, to the carnal. And I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as of men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Etc., etc. So again, let's look at the next one. It's Hebrews 5. Verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason of hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sin. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he was offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and it becomes such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Soul from spirit. So the exhortation is to stop being carnal. You stop being carnal by stop using your mind to try to understand spiritual things. You stop being carnal when repentant, when every time there's something that you don't understand, there's repentance. And that that deepens the well, if you will. That removes more of you so that all of him may be revealed in you. So anyway, that's the word on babes. All right? Continuing, Luke 10. Now it said these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Good isn't the words that we usually hear, that we usually, and it's the common word for good is different than this one. Anyway, this word for good is eudokia, and eudokia comes from, what it means is that it's something is in line with a specific purpose. And the only way you can understand the word is that it's in the time and space. If you were an architect and you had a plan for a building, then eudokia would be everything that was in line with the perfection of building that building. And anything that was adokia, or not good, was something that was not necessarily evil, but was out of line with the building or with the function that was set before them. So from God's standpoint, it seemed good to him that it was revealed unto babes and not unto what we think are the wise. So you understand that meaning of good? Receiving so it because it seemed good in thy sight. Sight just is, it's not this common word for sight, it means with regard to. So it seemed good with regard to that purpose, his purpose, which is the bride. That's why time and space exists. God so loved the son, or the bride, God so loved the world, the bride, that he gave his son. That's where we get the idea of the father gives away the bride. Gives away the bride because the bride is made, he had to give the son because the bride is made up of the same substance as he is, my sister, my spouse. All right? Now let's start. We won't get very far in the next one. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, to whom the Son will reveal him. word son is this word huios, it's the fullness of the son. Well, we've talked about no man knoweth the son and no man knoweth the father. And so the idea that's pretty well established, right? That we can't, after the flesh, we can't know the Son. We can't know the Father except to whom the Son reveals him. The only one the Son reveals the Father to are the ones who have accepted their death. Otherwise, you'll create a Father after your own imagination. You'll create a heaven after your own comic book, and you'll create the Son after your own image, after your own idea of what he does. And that's where we get this whole crap of Christian politicians and I got a call late, well, not late, but late for me, about 8:30 on the night of the voting. Particular person didn't vote, and he was being exhorted and shamed by some people in his Bible study because they said that the Bible teaches us we must vote for Christian men. And so he said, that can't be right. And I said, you're right, that can't be right. The Bible doesn't exhort us to vote for anybody, it just votes to be. Pray for who's ever in power. Anyhow, the point of it is we create a Christ after the order of whatever our image of what we think things should be. So we don't have to go through that. Okay, and to whom the Son will reveal him, and that's the same word. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are your eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Now that same issue, that the same thing that Christ said to his disciples, I say unto you. And then you say unto whoever comes into your path, blessed are your eyes, for you see. Amen?
Yeah.
Now the reason, we don't have time to do it. We'll get started. We're going to talk about this eyes business. Which eye is he talking about? Last night, Bible study, we talked about, there's a scripture that said, let me look and see what it says exactly. It's Ecclesiastes 11. Verse 7. Well, it says, blessed or happy is the man that looks at the sun or something like that. And then it says, truly the light is sweet. And as a pleasant thing to the eyes to behold the sun. S-U-N, sun. Truly the light is sweet and blessed and a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. And so that's what we'll talk about for the next couple days, about this. What eyes is he talking about? It's the eye that many, many religions and many, many times in history, they've symbolized it by myths about a third eye. And the whole idea of the Ang Chakra, which is the third eye in Hindu. And the whole the yoga, they spent jillions of times on this third eye business. And the sound of the third eye is supposed to be Om. But anyway, it all has to do back with what you see and how you see. So that's what we're going to study the next couple days. The mystery of if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is double, even the light that is in you is darkness. And so, any response to anything we said this morning? Gary, you're strangely silent. Is it because you got conked on the head?
No, these are inner revelations taking place. The thing I was hearing a lot was this the thing about the Father and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And that word reveal, just as everything being said, is like, it's not like the curtain coming back and you're watching a movie, but the revelation is taking place in you as you.
Amen.
You know, the transformation from who you think you are to who you really are. But it only comes through this empty mind.
Amen.
Because the mind can't have a part in the revelation.
Amen.
And that
and that's the meaning of the third eye.
Yeah.
The original meaning.
And your eye is single. There's nothing
that's
else.
And it goes back to the pineal gland. It's not a mistake that God named the place where Jacob had the fight. And it was changed from Jacob to Israel. The name of that place is Peniel, the face of God. That's what Peniel means.
Yeah.
If you look up on Wikipedia, yeah, whatever that thing is, it says that the Peniel. It's named Peniel because it's shaped like a pine cone. And I said, oh my God, I just about, if I had it in me, you know, you can edit those things on Wikipedia. But it's not named Peniel because it's shaped like a pine cone. It's named Peniel because Peniel means face of God.
Yeah. See his face.
And you die.
Something else thinks about
me. Right, you die. All right. So we're going to get Far Eastern here in the next few days. We're going to get mystical.
Can we sit in the lotus position?
Can if you want to.
You can do it.
Can you just do it? You can do it in your shirt.
In your jeans.
I can do it.
You can?
Yeah.
Damn.
Show us.
No. I'll show Pete and he can be a witness.
No.
Maybe Pete doesn't want to see it.
Yeah, not
he's seen me sit in the lotus position already, if you don't remember.
Maybe once.
I don't want to talk about this anymore. Take it big guy quickly.